Good to have you here this morning. We continue our study of the Gospel of Mark. We're jumping ahead as we deal with the events that took place on the week of Easter. So if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 14 in your Bibles, there are pew Bibles and you can use those, or if you have your own, you can use that and mark it as well. I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 12, and I'm going to read through to the portions of that to the end of the chapter. And I think it's important for us to listen to the word and review those things that took place as Jesus was ending his life, as he was coming to the end of his life. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" And so he sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar with water will meet you. Follow him, say to the owner of the house as he enters, 'The teacher needs you. Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left and went into the city and found the things just as Jesus had told them, and so they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12, and while they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. It's one who is eating with me." And they were saddened. One by one, they said to him, "Surely, it is not I. It is one of the 12, Jesus replied, "the one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as is written of him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It were better for him if he had not been born." And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them. They all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. And then picking up our reading at verse 43. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared, and with him a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the teachers of the law and elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then those who were standing near drew a sword and struck the high servant's priest, the high servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Jesus said, "Am I leading a rebellion that you come against me with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in your temples, in your temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted and fled. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we open the word together, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, even as you spoke to the disciples. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's important that we read the gospel story. It's very important. On the back table, I have put about 10 or 12 documents. I put them together as they're color-coded, each gospel and the narration of the scriptures together. So you can read all of it as one continuous story, every part compared to the other parts. I think that's very valid. You're welcome to pick that up after church and read it, or you can go onto our website and get it there. The picture of Palm Sunday is very important for us. The people are celebrating. They're celebrating that Jesus Christ is coming into Jerusalem. It's the week of Passover. It's the week of celebration. There are hundreds of thousands of people gathered in Jerusalem. And as word spread out concerning Jesus, many were celebrating him and loving what he did. And they came into Jerusalem celebrating along with the children. That began the whole week, and a week of difficulty for Jesus. As he came in, the first thing he did in the temple was he cleansed the temple of those that were selling and buying and threw them out. And throughout the week, people's attitudes changed toward Jesus Christ. We come to the end of that scripture reading, and we culminate it with the woman pouring out an alabaster jar of ointment on Jesus and worshiping him. And then Judas said, "What a waste! This could have been sold for much money and given to the poor." And the scripture says it wasn't that he was concerned about the poor. It was that he was a thief and he was putting his hand into the bag and taking it for himself. And it was at that time that Judas, sitting with Jesus at the Lord's Supper, turned to the Lord Jesus Christ along with the others and said, "It is I." And then Jesus said, "Whatever you have to do, do it quickly." Judas got up and left. He went out and he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That doesn't mean much to us. What's 30 pieces of silver? It didn't mean 30 pieces of dimes. It meant a piece of silver was worth a day's wages. He sold Jesus for about a month of wages. The Apostle John was not too impressed with Judas Iscariot. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 6 and verse 70, he quotes Jesus as saying, "I have chosen all of you disciples, and one of you is the devil." And in this passage, Jesus said it were better for him that he had never been born. I wanted to give you that scripture reading so that you can picture the story, and that you can understand that this is a week that Jesus came and it culminates in his death on the cross. But the process of that death on the cross began with some people turning their backs on him. There are four people that are identified in this passage. The first are the crowds. The crowds applauded Jesus on the Lord's Day, just as we did here today, applauding and celebrating Jesus. It's so easy for people to be given lip service to Jesus. "I love Jesus. I like Jesus. Jesus is great." But when push comes to shove, their hearts are far from him and they don't want to follow him. And so that first group of people were those that applauded him, and soon they drifted away. They became disillusioned with Jesus. The second is an individual. We talked about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. I don't know anybody that wants to name their child Judas. Why? Because with that comes that whole onus of responsibility that Judas was a betrayer of the Lord. He sold Jesus. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver and turned his back on the Lord. And Jesus said he was a devil and he was destined to be without God and without Christ for the rest of all of humanity and on into eternity. But then we come to Peter. And Jesus said concerning Judas that he was going to be betrayed. But then he said, "And all of you will be offended because of me. All of you will deny me. All of you will turn away from me." And all of them said, "I'm not going to do that." And Peter especially, he was the big mouth among them. And he said, "Lord, everybody else may deny you, but I'm not going to. I will never deny you." And Jesus said, "Whoa, watch your words. Because before the cock crows this morning, you'll deny me three times." And so it was. Peter denied him. Not just denied him, but when they accused him of being a disciple, Peter began to curse and to swear. And he said, "I do not know the man." And the third time he did that, the rooster crowed. And he went out and wept. because he realized that when push came to shove, he was not a faithful disciple. He disowned the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied him. And finally, the fourth group are the rest of the disciples. We don't hear much about them. But Jesus said, when Peter said those things that he would never deny the Lord, they all said the same thing. I would never deny you. Within a few hours, all of them became turncoats. They ran away and they fled and left Jesus alone. What has that got to do with me? What does it have to do with you? The questions the disciples asked is the whole theme of this message. Lord, is it I? And as we come to the communion table today, every one of us needs to ask that question. Lord, am I just a Sunday go-to-meeting believer? Am I just do I just follow you when it's convenient? Am I going to sit here today and take communion, but tomorrow I'm going to go my own way and do my own thing? Am I going to abandon you? Am I going to deny you? Am I going to live just like the world? And I see that often we as Christians are excuse makers when it comes to commitment to Christ. We are fair weather Christians. We serve God and we go to church when it's convenient. But there's no cost to our discipleship. There's no commitment to our discipleship. There's no staying with Him through thick and through thin. We say we love Him, but our actions speak louder than our words. We deny the Lord by not attending church days without number, perhaps months without number. We deny Him by our actions of loving other things more than we love Jesus, loving some social event, some ball game, some golf outing, or something else that comes in between us and our Savior. And so we have to ask the question, is it I? Is it I? Someone has written a humorous possibility of disciples excusing themselves from the Lord's Supper, that last supper. And it goes along like this, identifying each one of the disciples. Peter said, I cannot come. My mother-in-law came over for the weekend. Andrew said, I was up kind of late last night, so I can't go. James said, really, I need some me time, so I can't be there. John said, I was there last week. Besides, I'm not really being fed. And Philip said, finally, we have a sunny day and I'm going to hit the lake. Bartholomew said, I had a brunch scheduled with my Uncle Zed and I can't make it. Matthew said, I have to get my taxes done. James, son of Alphaeus, said, my dad wanted me to go fishing, so I'm going fishing today. Thaddeus said, the kids need a day of rest, so I'm going to spend time with my family. Simon said, I did not hear my alarm because I didn't set it, because I don't have one. Finally, Judas said, I'm getting tired of hearing the same old message, so I can't come. Lord, is it I? We would probably say, Lord, is it me? Am I the one that a week or 2 weeks or a month after Easter, am I going to be out there wandering away from Jesus? Maybe not betraying Him like Judas, but perhaps denying Him like Peter and blending in with the crowd. Or maybe I will be like the other disciples who just kind of drift away and don't follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. As we serve communion today, I want to emphasize that communion is for those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have come to know Him as your Savior, if Jesus is your Savior, then you may partake in this communion fellowship. It's what the Lord gave to His disciples on that night He was betrayed. And as we celebrate communion, we have to ask ourselves, Lord, is there something in me that's not right? Is there something of Judas in me? Is there something of Peter in me? Is there something like those other disciples in me? There's a song that's sung. It says, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified Him? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed Him to the cross? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? For all of us, Mark is writing pictorial or describing pictorial people that met Jesus as their Savior. And he wants us to put ourselves into that story, and he would ask us the same question. Were you there? If you were to be transported back among the disciples, would you be one of those who are faithful? Or would you not be true? We're going to sing a song that most of you do not know. I know Don does not know it, and I chose it because of the words of this song. It's called Fully Surrender, Lord God to Thee. And you'll find the words that are in your hymn book. They're actually in the insert in your bulletin this morning. And I want to read those words just before we go to the Lord's table. Fully surrendered, Lord, I would be. Fully surrendered, dear Lord, to Thee. All on the altar laid, surrender fully made. Thou hast my ransom paid. I yield to Thee. Fully surrendered, lifetime and all. All Thou hast given me held at Thy call. Speak but the word to me. Gladly I'll follow Thee, now and eternally. Obey my Lord. Would you stand with us as we sing just two verses of that song?